And I'd like to pay respect to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians that may be here today. Just a reminder of public conduct under Section 32 of our standing orders for our members in the public gallery, that not without any prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any of the persons present, be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at this meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period as the chairperson decides, and that could include future meetings. Leave of absence today. Unfortunately, Councillor Boglari is not well, but so she's dialed in, and I will need a leave of absence, permission be given to Councillor Boglari to take part in the general meeting by teleconference. Mover and seconder for that, thanks. Move Councillor Edwards, seconder Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously with Councillor Elliott absent and Councillor Bishop absent. Now my great pleasure to welcome one of the members of our Redlands Ministers Fellowship, Reverend Jim DeWitt from Redlands Christian Reformed Church, to lead us in a brief devotional segment. And if I might just start by passing on our Christmas blessings to the ministry, to the ministers, on behalf of Redlands City Council. And with that, hand over to you.
Thank you. Thank you for the welcome and for Christmas greetings. And I guess I'm here to do the same on behalf of the Ministers Fellowship, just to extend our blessings and thanks to you as Mayor, but also to all the councillors. You know, thank you for allowing us to participate in this part of the meeting as well. It's a privilege that we take highly, and we value very much. But also thank you to elected councillors and paid staff for the work that you do in making this city what it is. And I guess extending even thinking that through, thanks to people who sit in the gallery and people who all have the best interests of the Redlands at heart. And we value that, and we want to say thank you. Thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for the sacrifices you make. Thank you for sticking it through at times when it gets tough, and when you have disagreements, being able to work through those things for this city. And we thank you for that. And I don't know about you, but for a pastor in the city, this time of year, everything ramps up. So it's nice to sort of get through that Christmas time and then be able to go. And I know this has been your last meeting of the year. There's probably things that you're going to want to finish off as well. And it's our prayer that those things get finished off really well. But I hope you also get to take a break, to enjoy time with family, to take that space and get together and enjoy that moment and that time. Come back refreshed and renewed as we start 2018. And enjoy that season, this time when we do stop, when we do spend time together, when we do have that time of giving. And I've been reflecting about giving, particularly as we sort of lead up to Christmas. And I was thinking of, you know, that it's, when you think about giving, it's become, I don't know for you, but for me it becomes really hard just trying to think about buying gifts for your family, you know, just trying to find the perfect gift. It just seems to get harder and harder every year. And I was just thinking, what's the best Christmas present you've ever got? You know, what's the best thing, you know, where you unwrap it and you go, woohoo, this is it. This is the best gift. You know, I just remember my youngest son, Asher, when he got an iPod a couple of years ago, and he just held it and just rocked there for about 5 minutes. He didn't even open the box. He just sort of held onto it. It was just the best thing. And my older daughter, who loves cooking, loves baking and stuff, and she got this red mixer unit, and she just held it there and cried. And I thought, boy, my wife nailed it. Like, it's not me. You know, what's the best present you've got? You know, where you say, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. How did you know I wanted this? And maybe you can say that because you bought the present and you wrapped it up and put it under the tree. So you can actually unwrap it and go, ooh, this is my gift. But what I was thinking, what's the best present I've ever got? And I thought it had to be the birth of my oldest son, Cameron. He was born 12 days before Christmas, and it was a gift that changed our life forever as a family. It just, everything was new, everything was exciting. We've got this new thing that's come into our life that's disrupted it, but it's changed it forever. Everyone was happy for us. Everyone was celebrating with us. Everyone wanted to see him. Everyone wanted to hold him. Everyone wanted to pull funny faces at him to try and get him to smile. It was just that exciting time of year, 12 days before Christmas, which actually means it's his birthday today. Yeah, he turns 25 today. They're exciting times. I remember going shopping to the Westfield Shopping Centre. We were living in Sydney at the time, and you put the baby in one of those little carriers at the front, and everybody wanted to have a look at this new baby, like it was only a couple of days old. And if you want to attract girls, the best way. Like, it was just these swarms of girls and young women that just wanted to have this baby, and they even wanted to hold it and everything. So it was just that exciting time. And I thought Christmas is like that, especially when we talk about gifts and giving and just reflecting then, as we do in churches, about that first Christmas. Because there's another baby that's born into the world, but no ordinary baby. It was a baby that angels sang about. It was a baby that shepherds rushed off to see. It's a baby that men travelled a long way to come and see and worship. It was a baby that a jealous king wanted to kill. And so it's no ordinary baby, but it's a baby that changed the world at the time. A baby that was spoken about hundreds of years earlier. A baby that is here to change lives. Not just my family, as my son coming into the family, but families like mine, people sort of down through the years and around the world. And that's what Christmas is about. You know, God giving his gift. If I think about it, then God was the trendsetter in giving gifts. Because in John's Gospel, we read that, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And he goes on to say, whoever believes in him has eternal life. So that was God being the gift giver, giving the baby that was a gift to change the world forever. So what do you do with it? What do you do with a gift, any gift that's given to you? You never leave it unwrapped, and you never leave it unopened. And so I just leave you with a thought that at this Christmas, don't leave that gift of that first Christmas unwrapped or under the tree. Excuse me, just check it out. When you hear, as you do through shopping centres, when you're joining with Christmas carols, just think about the words that are being sung and reflecting on those words. Check out the story. This is God's story, and it's become part of our life and our society. So check it out. You know, don't miss out on that first gift, that greatest gift. If you are one of those people who have unwrapped the gift, that you know the gift of that first Christmas, then don't forget to enjoy it as well in the midst of everything else that happens. Enjoy it. Worship the child born at Christmas. And that's just what I want us to reflect on. He is Christ the Lord. And in Matthew it says he is Emmanuel, God with us. So remember that as we move into this time of the year. Let me lead you in prayer. Lord, at this time of the year, we at this start of this meeting, we want to pause and we want to give you thanks. Lord, we want to give you thanks for counsellors and staff who have given themselves this year to Redland City. Lord, we thank you for their commitment. We thank you for their passion. We thank you for their desire to see the best for this city. Lord, we thank you for the decisions that they've made. We thank you, Lord, that despite differences, they can work together in harmony. They can come to conclusions. They can make decisions that that they feel is best. Lord, we thank you for the way in which they do that. And Lord, so we commit this meeting to you. We pray, Lord, that the things that they discuss, Lord, that they will do that with a sense of unity. They'll do that with a sense of wanting what is best. Lord, that they'll be able to listen to one another, that they'll be able to understand, that they'll be able to move in the right way so that decisions can be made. Lord, we just thank you for this city that we can be a part of. Lord, we thank you for this time of year where we think about Christmas, where we spend time with family, where we enjoy gift giving and receiving. Lord, we thank you for these times. May you bless those times together as family and friends. Lord, we also pray that we would also reflect on the reason that we have this time, Christmas, that we'll think about the gift that you gave of your one and only Son. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Christmas story. We thank you for your stepping into our world in this way. And so, Lord, we want to reflect on that. We want to pray for your blessing on this council meeting, on in our lives together. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Councillors, I haven't been advised of any recognitions of achievements, so we'll go straight on to the receipt and confirmation of minutes. Could I please have a mover and seconder that the minutes of general meeting held on the 22nd of November be confirmed? Moved, Councillor Hughes, second, Councillor Gleeson. Any items of correctness? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously.
When Wendy?
Yeah, I said aye.
Matters. There are no matters outstanding from the minutes of previous general meetings, so we'll go straight to public participation. I have been advised of a couple of speakers this morning, so I'll have a mover and seconder, please, that the meeting adjourn for a 15-minute public participation segment to allow members of the public to address councils on matters of public interest related to local government. Move Councillor Hewlett, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Just for those who will be addressing council this morning, you may have noticed a signage in the chambers regarding public participation at meetings. It's council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or the organisation that they represent and the subject that they wish to speak about. The information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at council's administration building and is published on council's website. I also advise the meeting is being recorded in audio video and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. So just a reminder, anyone addressing the meeting will state their name, suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless you're unable to do so. Act and speak with decorum. Be respectful and courteous. Make no comments directed to any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that the comments relate to council as a whole. And as chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address our local government. Also to give priority to members who have made a written application to members in the public gallery who have made a written application to the CEO to address the meeting, and also to determine the number of maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak and the time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, dependent on the number of speakers. It's also my responsibility as chairperson to withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. Just a reminder that debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this time. If anyone requires a hearing loop, if they could just let us know, and we'll bring the microphone to you and ask you to stand while you speak. My understanding is at this point in time we have Stanley Mogg, who would like to address council, and if Stanley is here. Stanley, would you like to make your way to the microphone? And Stanley, just a reminder again to state your name and suburb or the organisation you represent, and please begin when you're ready.
Thanks very much to yourself, Honourable Mayor and Council, for letting me have a few minutes of your time. My name is Stanley Mogg. I live in Redland, but I actually live in Brisbane City Council at South America Bat. But I am a non-executive director of Redland Sports and Recreation Pty Limited, and I'm here to talk in relation to item 11.2.5, and that's the development of the hospital units at, in Link Road, Victoria Point. Redland Sports is played as action indoor sports at Victoria Point. I'm also here on behalf of my son, who's actually a director and also the managing director of the business. Currently, he's in the ACT. We are the registered lessee of Lot 2. which is one of the properties associated with this amalgamation and development. We operate the under release the sports hall, and which incorporates the sports hall, the land, both the car park and that for the whole of Lot 2. The car park and the grass area are at the rear of the building. The business has been operating on the site for over 30 years. We've only been involved with the business 4.5 years. We currently employ upwards of 50 people, mostly casual staff, in the pursuit of our activities. We provide activities such as indoor sports, netball, cricket, volleyball, and other activities. We also incorporate things like a Buddable World recreational activities. In our sports activities, we provide pathways right through to international competition, and have had players who played our represented Australia. In our lease of these premises, we did agree to allow an amendment to the lease if a probable development was approved. However, at the time we commenced this lease, this only covered the grass area at the rear of the site. It did not incorporate the car park at the rear of the building. Proposed development incorporates that car park. The current lessor has not been forthcoming with us in discussions in relation to this proposed development. In other words, our rights under the terms of the lease have not been discussed with us in detail, only on one more meeting providing to us a copy of the development with no other discussion or debate about our respective rights under the lease. Therefore, what is proposed here does infringe our rights under the lease and will be necessary for us that if it is approved, that we take all necessary steps to properly seek legal advice and commence legal action to check our particular rights. I notice from the papers that are being discussed or have been discussed by the council management that the proposed development is a significant change of use. And I don't intend to go over this, but I'm pleased to see that the recommendation from the management is that the development don't proceed on these grounds. I do want to just bring to attention a few other important matters. As operators on the site, we see these things each day, or some of us in particular, and I'm going to reinforce some of the operational issues that will occur as a result of this development. There have been continual and ongoing issues with car parking and traffic flow on site. The access to the site is a difficult one for vehicle traffic. There was a situation where I think there's currently about 160 odd car parks on site, which is roughly what is proposed in the ongoing development. Because of the issues that have been occurring on site, an additional grass area was converted to car park. This is the area that's marked on the means to take some 59 car parks. As a result, you could effectively say there's currently in excess of 200 car parks on site, and hopefully this development will reduce that. Traffic flows from the main link road to the townhouses is right through or between the two major operating buildings. We see this as being particularly a difficult area as those buildings open up onto that driveway. Most of the people who are utilising the site for that access through that drive, through onto those driveways to get to their vehicles and car parks. So in addition to the current traffic flow that's there, we're going to add some 70 or 80 vehicles to the issue. Our services have not been adequately provided for. There's no provision for our industrial bin collection services, there's no provision for any truck or parking capability for delivery trucks on site that service our building. The trucks will have to use the main driveway, which will then block access to the units or townhouses. To do deliveries and pickups. It will also be difficult for them to turn on site, effective provision, and we'll probably have to reverse back all the way out onto the link road. Or that's particularly if there are car parks being utilised at that time. To make way for that, that will again reduce the number of car parks. So again, it'll be a lot less than what is currently on site. We noted and had raised the issue of noise abatement. We don't agree that the surveys that were conducted at peak times. At the same time, those particular surveys were done when the building doors were closed. We do appreciate the
heat conditions that we experience up here, and we often leave those doors open for ventilation purposes for the safety and comfort of our patients. The fans particularly affect our fire exits and fire exit doors on the building. Sections of the building is incorporated behind the fence and the land adjoining to the 10 houses through which normally we wouldn't have access. It would be difficult for our people to exit on fire purposes to safety areas. So in essence, I guess that we see significant infringements to our operations and also there could be issues associated with sovereign nations. And as I said, we would have to consider, if this was approved, we would have to consider our further actions to protect our interests under the lease. And at this stage, haven't taken that legal advice, but we are aware that we have some rights under the lease. So thank you for your time. I trust that correct decisions will be made, and thank the councillors and wish you all the very best.
Thank you, Mr. Mogg. Are there any other members of the public in the gallery that wish to address council this morning? No, there aren't? Okay, well then I'll just take a motion that the meeting proceedings resume. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Councillors, we do have a couple of petitions, I believe, that need to be presented this morning. If I might just ask Councillor Hewlett if he'd like to present his petition.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to present to Council a petition from the residents of Renaissance Retirement Village for the removal of a barking dog.
Move Councillor Hewlett, seconded. Is there a motion that you've got there, actually, Councillor Hewlett?
Well, I'd like to talk to it a little bit, if that's possible.
What is the motion, though?
The motion is that the petition is of an operational nature and be received and referred to the CEO for consideration.
Thank you. So moved.
Yeah.
Seconded by Councillor Bishop. Now, Councillor Hewlett, if you'd like to speak to it.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I guess this petition is a culmination of many years of distress that has been felt by the Renaissance residents due to a barking dog from an external residence to the village. Most of the complaints were raised between 2000 and 2015, 25 complaints, in fact, where there were actual breaches against council's local laws. It culminated, obviously, at the this year when the permanent removal of that dog was ordered, but council decided, under policies that we have, to allow the dog to return, which again reignited issues with the residents as the dog continued to bark. I can confidently say that I was going to come today and ask for a motion to be moved to have the dog permanently removed, but I've been advised by the CEO's office that under separation of powers and the fact that I can't, as a third party, interfere with the compliance notice, that it'd have to be done through the Queensland Ombudsman Office, that the best I can do is to refer this operationally to the CEO to address. I'd have to say that the CEO has been very good in addressing this issue with me, as has legal counsel and senior officers, so I'm just hoping that this tenuous situation is now under a microscope and we can proceed to a positive outcome. Thank you.
Take it. No speakers against. Question?
Thank you, Mayor. Can I seek that I would be advised as to how many have signed the petition? Thank you. Thank you. I know we have a...
I'm being told that we can't debate a petition.
No, and I can't ask the question as to how many have signed?
We'll take it on notice and we'll let you know how many people have signed it.
Thank you.
That's my fault. It's okay. All right, we have a motion, councillors. It's really just to receive the petition and refer it to the appropriate department. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Boglary? Absent, yeah.
Aye.
Councillor Mitchell, I also believe you have a petition to present.
Yes, I do, Madam Mayor, thank you. It's a petition from the residents of North Stradbroke Island requesting that Council provides a permanent parking area adjacent to or as a through road to adjoining caravan park at 1 mile at North Stradbroke Island. So the motion is that the petition is of an operational nature and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration, and, importantly, that the petition be forwarded to the Queensland Government as the responsible planning authority for 1 mile on North Stradbroke Island.
So moved by Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Tolchi. Anything else you need to say, Councillor Mitchell?
Yeah, just a few words. Certainly acknowledge the community concern over in this restrained patch of land where there is some parking and transport concerns. Certainly not ignoring their cry for help, as they say. In fact, Council is doing as much as we can in what we can control. This includes city infrastructure is currently looking at some asset renewal on the road, so some resurfacing along Yabby Street. City infrastructure is also renewing parking signage and looking for efficiencies in longer term parking versus shorter term parking options here. In fact, we're looking at some trying to move on people that are perhaps having a bit of a lend and park in their long term, so we're looking at some regulation. Councillors intend to declare new regulated parking areas to assist in dealing with some of the parking issues along East Coast Road and around 1 mile. And importantly, the Dunwich Master Plan and North Stradbroke Island Transition Projects, managed by Department of State Development and the State Government under the North Stradbroke Island Economic Transition Strategy, are likely to provide a longer-term solution in this area. And Council are willing and keen participants in these matters. We don't control them. They're State Government ideas. So thank you. With that, move the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Mitchell. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
The motion is carried. Councillor Gleeson is absent. The next item, councillors, are the presentations. And my understanding, we have two presentations today, one from Councillor Golay and one from Councillor Bishop. So, Councillor Golay, if you'd like to present.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'd like to present a report and just a brief summary of a conference I attended. The purpose of this report is to provide a summary of a conference attended by me in July 2017. There's legislative requirements to provide this report. So this report's drafted under policy number 3076, expenses, reimbursement and provision of facilities for councillors. More precisely, page 3 of 7, paragraph 6, professional development, subparagraph C, where the training involves attendance at a conference, the councillor must present a report to council. Council has a continuous plan of risk management in order to strengthen the Redlands' resilience to climate change. And so councillors need to acquire an understanding and research how the Redlands might feel the impacts of climate change and develop options to avoid or lessen impacts in areas of disaster management, building design, planning, fleet management and education. Just a bit of a background on this particular seminar, or conference I should say. The EcoCity World Summit addresses the way humanity builds its home, its cities, towns and villages. The series focuses on the key actions cities and citizens can take to rebuild our human habitat in balance with living systems and in the process slow down and even reverse global heating, biodiversity collapse, loss of wilderness, agricultural lands and open space, and social and environmental injustices. This world-renowned series was first held in Berkeley, California in 1990 and has since been hosted by cities in Australia, Senegal, Brazil, China, India, California, Turkey, Canada and France. And I was privileged enough to attend as a delegate from the Redlands when it was held here in Australia. Past conferences have featured a wide range of leaders and innovators, including environmentalist David Brower, Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell, Rusong Wang, member of the Chinese People's Congress and head of the Environmental Science Division of the Chinese Academy of Science. And there's a lot more big names there I could drop, but I'll continue. The EcoCity World Summit aims to unite people through a way of living on the planet that provides the best possible cities while enhancing, not destroying, the biosphere. Now, some of the lessons that I sort of learnt and took away from the seminar was, first of all, diplomacy. So as a local government councillor, I was quite honoured to be able to partake in panel discussions with the former Vice President, Al Gore. Al Gore's the co-founder and chairman of Generation Investment Management. He's a senior partner at Kleiner Perkins Caulfield and Byers and a member of Apple Inc.'s board of directors. I was also had the privilege to converse with Senator, excuse my French here, because I don't speak French, Ronan Dantec, Senator for Lier Atlantique Region, France, and UCLG spokesman for climate. He's also the Vice President of the Sustainable Development and Planning Commission. Now, I believe he was quite significant in planning all the high-level discussions around climate change on the world stage. There was also His Excellency Mr. Yogesh Punjab, and he was the High Commissioner from the Republic of Fiji to Australia. And there was also the Indonesian President's Special Envoy for Climate Change. So diplomacy was something I had to learn very quickly, understanding the high-level presentations that were going on. There's a couple other topics I can go into here. So green energy and the use in emerging countries, for example. There was an interesting point made regarding the use of industrial age fuels. With industrial age fuels and energy use comes industrial age technologies to supply that energy. Not everyone lives in a society where profit is required to generate a lifestyle on a perception that we must all conform to a system that keeps us on an economic mouse wheel. So an example that was provided to us was when we talk about alternative energy use and how it can benefit the Redlands, because of our policies and our plans in relation to the mitigation excessive uses of non-environmentally friendly or non-economically viable products within our own organisation. Some of the examples that were given to us is when you look at these emerging countries, they're using new energies now. So, for example, they take a solar panel the size of your mobile phone and plug that directly into your laptop computer. There was no hooking up to some sort of grid or anything like that. So a lot of these third world emerging countries are using technology now because they don't have copper wires in the ground, they don't have all the infrastructure that's there. So they've embraced this new technology and are starting to overtake what we perceive as being first world countries in their technology and energy use. So it's quite interesting to look at that that evidence. We also went into future digital conversion for communities and what some of the challenges will be around that. And one of the major challenges was cybersecurity. So as we go down this path of digital conversion where we're all going to be driving, you know, or not driving, autonomous cars, and it's all going to be electrified, and there's going to be a plug-in centre at a power pole, and everyone's happy. That came with challenges within itself, where Tesla had experienced a state-based or a state-sanctioned cyber attack that actually shut down the braking system on their vehicles. So those autonomous cars suddenly became a barrier, causing traffic jams instead of fulfilling the purpose of what was actually required, which is to create an ease of lifestyle. So a lesson for us is that when we start talking about our smart city concepts, we also have to have a responsibility of how do we resource and budget the alternatives to mitigate cyber threat. So it's very interesting how it all came about. I'll keep it very brief now, but just some of the other lessons learnt from the conference was confronting our climate future provides a solid framework for Council and the Redlands community to become more resilient to the impacts of climate change and energy transition. I think it was Councillor Gleeson who suggested that we look at solar farming or putting solar panels into a lot of our buildings to mitigate our power use. And that's just one very proactive step that we can take in order to mitigate cost in rates to residents, because obviously our operational costs are part of that in energy use. And overall, the conference was just an awakening and an experience to see what's actually happening on the world stage as far as technology goes and how we can incorporate that here in the Redlands and hopefully invite entrepreneurial thinking people into the Redlands so that we can benefit economically from these emerging technologies. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gollow. Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, similar to Councillor Gollay, I was fortunate to attend a three-day futures thinking and strategic development planning session with Professor Sahail Inayatullah on the Gold Coast. He's a world-leading futurist and political scientist who's lived in southeast Queensland, raised two children while maintaining positions at UNESCO as the Global Chair of Future Studies, adjunct professor in the Faculty of Arts and Business in the University of Sunshine Coast, a professor of the Graduate Institute of Future Studies at Tam Kang University in Taiwan, and associate at the Melbourne Business School. The three-day workshop was comprised of a selection of people from the civic realm, commercial and community leaders, with attendees from many local government areas, several councillors, executive managers, senior staff and entrepreneurs who all came together to learn tools and methods to help learn how to create and manage alternative futures on behalf of customers and citizens. I was delighted to attend this workshop with our acting CEO and General Manager for Community Services and Planning, Louise Rassan, whose particular interest was in that fundamental space of smart cities and with futures thinking and strategic development as a framework. So with the support of co-facilitator Colin Russo, we went through a range of future studies that I'll just touch on briefly so that collaborators and stakeholders can quickly move beyond the traditional mental models and some limited thinking that entrenched behaviours can raise, and to find preferred pathways using a six pillars approach. While they're designed to be flexible and adaptable, they each support... I'll actually send the long version to Councillor Gleeson for his edification. But I am going to just go through these because we don't do these for giggles. It's important stuff. So pillar one is mapping the past, present and future factors that can drive us forward or pull us back as we consider alternative scenarios. Pillar two is about anticipating futures, so it's about gaining a deeper understanding of some of the emerging issues, the abiding challenges that we have at play, and how we can plan better as groups doing this stuff. Pillar three was about timing the future. It looks at things like the predictable patterns that we have throughout history, like the pendulum theory, where political pendulums swing from side to side, and they create impact on the way we plan for our future. And while those sorts of challenges can waste time, energy and money, it's important that we understand them as we think about the timing in terms of how we manage future planning. Then we moved on to deepening the future, which is looking more at the inner personal myths and cultural myths that impact challenges in planning for our community's futures. And then looking at alternative futures, which isn't just about the best case and worst case scenarios, it's actually looking at things like the societal and cultural change parameters. So this gives us a way of looking at different scenarios and the way things are going to be impacted as we plan for that future, or those various futures. And then finally, transforming the future is about articulating the preferred options and then developing critical pathways to achieve outcomes aligned with the goals, aware of the fact that we need to keep adapting along the way, using action learning, things like visioning, backcasting and rapid prototyping to build awareness, intelligence and capacity among stakeholders. So ultimately, the Planning Act has the highest order requirement for people across southeast Queensland, across Queensland, to think about ecological sustainability, and that's certainly an issue that relates to not only the present but how we plan for the future. So I endorse this conference, which will be done again in January and February. I support it for any person who is a business leader or a leader of people and needs to plan for the future, especially as we enter a climate of change. I'd like to table this report, which has got a rundown of all the various topics that we covered, and happy to discuss that with anyone who considers that planning is an important thing. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Next item on the agenda is the order of business. Do we have any change of the order of business, councillors? There being none, we'll move on. Just a reminder of your material personal interest and conflict of interest under the Local Government Act 2009, and you have a summary of those responsibilities in your agenda. So we move on to our reports. Now, our first report is the November 2017 monthly financial report. Can I please have a mover and seconder that report be received? Move, Councillor Gleeson. Seconded, Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Mayor. Just very, very briefly. I mention pretty much every month on this report, I talk about the cash holdings. And the last couple of months, I've mentioned that they were low, and it's because of the ebbs and flow in the rating cycle. And glad to see it returned back to a higher level. So it's about $155 million at the moment.
Any speaker against? Any questions? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.1, decisions under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications. Councillor Hughes, you want to move that?
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move 11.2.1, decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications. Thank you.
Move Councillor Hughes. Seconded Councillor Golay. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
No, thank you, Mayor. This is a report that's a regular report that we have for noting, and I just move that it be noted. Thank you.
There are no other questions, councillors. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? You got a question, councillor?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Hughes asked yesterday about the whether there has been an appeal lodged at Teak Lane. I was just wondering whether...
No, that's not this item, actually.
Oh, next one, sorry.
Yeah. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Next item is yours, Councillor Hewlett, to ask a question on 11.2.2. Move Councillor Bishop. Seconded Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
I need to move it, Madam Mayor, and that's 11.2.2, development of planning-related appeals list current as at the 29th of November. Just like to move the officer's recommendation. Sorry, 28th of November. Forgive me.
We have a question, Councillor Hewlett.
It's deja vu. I was just wondering, I'd like to direct a question to our legal counsel, Andrew Ross, whether there's been an appeal lodged at this point.
Thank you, Councillor. Through you, Madam Chair, no, there's been no appeal lodged at this stage. We can brief councillors in the first meeting back in the new year where the appeal period expires.
Thank you. No other questions? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 11.2.3, Christmas delegations. Councillor Hughes, would you like to move that?
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move 11.2.3, Christmas delegations for 2017 as per the report and officer's recommendation.
Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
No, thank you, Mayor. We understand that there's a 14-day period from the period covers the 14th of December 2017 to the 23rd of January 2018 that we've discussed in this report. Thank you.
Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Bishop?
Yes, just wondering if it's all the same whether in the notification to the divisional councillor whether there's any concern with all councillors just being alerted to applications as they come through. Would that be any onerous concern or burden if that was to
happen? It's just been the standard practice, and if a local councillor would like to advise others, I'm happy to do that. It's just a matter of practice.
Okay.
But this has been the standard housekeeping item we have on our December agenda to make sure that obviously there are timeframes around approvals in development approvals, legislated timeframes, and we want to make sure the officers have got that delegation to be able to do that job.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to hold up any efficiencies, but given that planning can sometimes raise some concerns, so I'm sure if there's any issues, you'll let us know.
If it's anything controversial, you'll all know about it.
Yeah, great. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Elliott?
Yeah, we'll still see all the applications coming through.
Correct.
So. You can call one.
Thank you. Put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.4, Councillor Bishop.
Madam Mayor, this is a matter that relates directly to me, as I am the owner of this particular property. So I'll absent myself, and just as I do, I'll just mention that I have gone to the...
declare your material personal interest and leave the room would be my suggestion.
And I've remained as hands-off as possible at every stage.
I appreciate that.
So I'll now remove myself. Thank you.
Okay, so councillors, that's item 11.2.4. Councillor Gleeson, you want to move that item?
Thanks, Mayor. Yes, please, I'd like to move item 11.2.4, St James Road, Birkdale.
Moved, Councillor Gleeson, seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thank you, Mayor. Look, this is just a very simple run-of-the-mill, everyday development, one block into two. There's nothing untowards about it. There's no problems, but when it was brought to my attention, I had a bit of a think about it, and this is owned by Councillor Bishop, as he said, and I really do, I've got this, since then I've really got this strong feeling that if, as councillors, if we're going to develop land, whether it's our primary place of residence or investment property, I really think it should be on the record. This is...
Excuse me, Madam Mayor, I can't hear Councillor Gleeson.
Sorry, he's talking into the microphone, Councillor Boglari, so I don't know what more I can do.
I think you were turning pages, sorry.
Oh, my apologies.
Sounded like somebody was turning pages, that's all I could hear.
My apologies, it was me.
I've got this strong opinion that as councillors, if we're going to do anything with land here in the Redlands, that where we can receive a financial gain from it, I think we should be very transparent as a community expects us to do in our daily decision making. And for the record, I did speak with planners, and this block has had development rights since the estate was first established. So whatever that is, 20 odd years, you know, the site was zoned to 2,000 square metres, the whole St James estate. But the blocks initially were split up into 4,000 square metres. So this has happened a few times in that estate. So it's nothing unusual, but I do believe that, that as I say, when we've got a potential material gain, financial gain as councillors, we should be making that public for the community. I've also been made aware of another subdivision by another councillor as well, that's either in the process or it's just been approved. I haven't raised that this time because I...
Stick to the agenda item, Councillor.
But I do think maybe there's an opportunity for people to declare that if they choose to, but I really do think that we should be making it just so you know, no one can raise questions on our actions.
Any speakers against? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillors. If I could get someone to advise Councillor Bishop that he can return. Please. Which I don't know which way he went. All right, councillors, moving on to 11.2.5. Sorry, councillor.
Excuse me, Mayor. When do I declare a conflict on this one, thanks?
Oh, when we once
it's moved.
Once, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you can. I mean, be more than welcome to declare it now if you like, and then we'll get the mover and seconder. It's fine. Councillor.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I'd like to, on going back to our meeting agenda item 10, declaration of material personal interest. I would declare a perceived conflict of interest in the matter before us. 11.2.5. I have worked at the what's now currently known as the YMCA and that sports unit for some years, and I was a manager there as well and played for many, many years. Thank you.
So that'll be noted. Thank you. A mover, Councillor Hewlett. Seconder, Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to present for Council's consideration 11.2.5. which is multiple dwellings, 48 units, and a boundary realignment, 202 lots at Link Road, Victoria Point.
I think we already had the mover and seconder, Councillor. I'm up.
Maybe talk to it.
Yeah.
With this particular application, I'd really like to congratulate our planning and assessment team. I've read through this whole report several times, and the reasons for the refusal are really well documented, really well thought out, and as Mr. Mogg pointed out this morning, and he reiterated some of those planning grounds and reasons, I'm not going to drag this out into a long diatribe, but I think it's a very good report. I agree with every aspect of it, and I fully support the refusal, so I'd like to move that refusal, please.
Speaker against? Comment, Councillor Tolte.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Look, it's disappointing when so much work is done on an application and it comes to a point where it's recommended for refusal. This is a very long-running episode, and I think when you're dealing with a community organisation who are trying to be self-sustaining and trying to find ways to make the most out of the assets that they have, you do try to support them as much as possible. So I think that it's very disappointing that we couldn't find a way to help this organisation to get an outcome that would meet the requirements of the community as well as their own organisational goals. And unfortunately, on this occasion, it appears that that hasn't been possible.
Would you like to sum up, Councillor Hewlett?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This has been a long process. It's been since 2012 when I was first elected, and I have emails here from council officers back in 2013 where they were quite succinct in their concerns about this development. So it hasn't been something that the community group has not been aware of, so just wanted to highlight that. But I'm just happy to remove the officer's recommendation for refusal, please. For the
to support. 6 points. I thought he said remove. Sorry, Councillor. Sorry. Thank you. All right, I'll put the motion then, Councillors. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.3.1. Now, I believe, Councillor Tolte, you were going to move that one. You'd like to move it? It's an amended...
I'd like to move the officer's recommendation with that slight amendment as is seen on the overhead there, please. Yes, I believe so.
Okay. So moved. Seconder, councillors? Councillor Elliott, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have a fast-growing community organisation in Redland Bay. Originally started at Victoria Point, so it's known as VP Magic, Victoria Point Magic Football Club. They've been very successful and they have a very good ethos which brings children on for their goals in their chosen sport of soccer or football, as it's preferably called. We have had to move quickly as an organisation over the last few years to be able to accommodate the fast growth of this sport in Redland Bay or in the southern part of the city where we don't have adequate sporting facilities at this time. We have a lack in our estimated requirements of sporting facilities. So, and the organisation has responded very well in finding a way to utilise available space to provide for not only this sporting group but all of our sporting groups. This now allows the group to be able to put up temporary club facilities at the grounds at the corner of Donald Road and School of Arts Road, which will then provide for them to be able to have games for 12 years and over players. But the reason for the amendment is that it is considered a temporary arrangement, and temporary in this instance could be several years, but in order to accommodate the needs of the club as they grow and the different teams and accommodate games, we will need more space than what's available at that small ground. So this allows the club to get on to continue to grow the sport and to grow the participation of children in the southern end of the city in the sport, but it also provides for council to recognise that we do need to accommodate sport across our city and in the southern part of the city adequately, and that this will not be a permanent fix to what's needed. It'll just allow them to get on while we find a more appropriate response.
Any speakers against?
Just a question. Could someone please read me the amendment?
I think it might have been sent through to you, but what it reads is make, vary or discharge a trustee lease to VP Magic Football Club Incorporated of a part of lot 901 SP167336 situated at 1 to 5 Donald Road, Redland Bay, Queensland 4165 as shown on the attached plan for a term not more than 10 years which with facilities considered temporary and removed at the expiry of the lease and the site reinstated subject to the approval from Department of Natural Resources and Mines.
Thank you.
No worries. Sorry. Andrew?
Through you, Madam Chair. Can I suggest just a slight minor change to that, where it says, with the facilities considered temporary and removed, can we put, and at council discretion, removed at the expiry of the lease? That just gives us a bit of...
flexibility.
Flexibility.
Well, can I just... I'm just going to ask if you can, if a mover and seconder is happy to accept
yes,
that.
Happy to
it
accept,
doesn't change the intent. It's not
that as the motion. Yep.
Everyone comfortable with that? Yeah. Okay. I just have one question, and sorry. Well, in relation to what has just been requested, as a minute, I'll let you go first. Mine's more broad than that.
Yeah. Thank you. Just so if it's at council discretion. Is it at the club's cost? Just want to clarify that.
Are you okay, Councillor Boglary?
I'm glad she's not an officer.
Sorry, I've just got a bit of pain. Oh, I thought I was on mute. I apologise. I put myself back on mute.
Bye.
Poor thing.
So the question was.
It would normally be
at council discretion. Is that a cost that would be borne by? Just thought it'd be worth asking that.
It's to be negotiated at the time. There might be a purpose that we might better use that facility for.
My question, it probably is just in regards to the fact that we don't know when an MCU will come in. I'm assuming it will come in the term of this planning scheme. But I have a question whether, in fact, if under the new draft plan, the use would still be impact assessable. And that might be something I noticed. Maybe that answer's been given already because I did ask it. Kim, would you mind?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm happy to respond to that question. Under the draft city plan in the recreation and open space zone, which this land is situated, the use is defined as outdoor sport and recreation. That use includes ancillary facilities, which this proposal is for. The use is exempt development if developed by Redland City Council or on council land and in accordance with a council resolution. So in this instance, it would be exempt development. If it didn't meet that criteria, it would otherwise be code.
Under the new plan,
so they wouldn't be required to advertise? My only concern is that I think in this instance that it would be important for the club to consult with the community because of the impact. So that's why I raised it. It is what it is, but you know, I think that's something that council needs to be cognizant of, particularly when it is only temporary, but it will have an impact, as it already has, from my understanding. So just for public knowledge that under this scheme it would be impact and they would hear about it and they'd read about it, but not necessarily under the draft scheme. The draft city plan. Okay, all right. Any other speakers or questions, comments? I'll hand back to Councillor Tolte to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, yes, I would ask councillors to support this motion. From a broader community perspective, as has been mentioned by the Mayor, the certainly my view and my desire is that we support the club whilst they grow the participation of the local children in sport and all of the benefits that that brings, but that we do need to ensure that as we consider the broader sporting needs of the community, that we find a way to accommodate this club at another more appropriate space and return that space to the community as soon as is practicable. And we have a process in place for that in the broader policy of council. But in the meantime, we don't want to be stopping under-14s from being able to play their games because of the Football Queensland rules with regard to provision of change rooms, etc. And that's what this allows them to do.
Put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.3.2. Councillor Edwards, would you like to move that one?
Yes, thanks. Item 11.3.2, the State of Queensland, represented by Public Safety Business Agency, Macleay Island Rural Forest Service, new lease. I move the officer's recommendation supporting a new lease.
Move, Councillor Edwards. Seconded, Councillor Elliott. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
This is an existing site which has the Rural Forest Service, the ambulance, and where the emergency helicopter lands. So it's just business as usual to continue.
Any speakers against? Questions or comments? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Councillor Boglari?
Aye, I am in favour.
Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. There are no mayoral minutes, no notice of motion that I'm aware of, no urgent business without notice, but there is a closed session. I'm going to ask councillors, do they want to move into closed session? Bearing in mind that there has been a slight amendment to item 16.1.1, and I just want to make sure everyone is aware of that. Okay, so we don't need to go into confidential. So with that, bear with me. Item 16.1.
Excuse me, Madam Mayor, just mindful I'm not sure what the amendment is to 16.1.1 unless it's a different agenda item.
Well, it will be public. I'll read the, if you like, I'll read out what the motion, the recommendation is, because it remains in the public domain anyway. But just second part, in regards to the confidentiality of the item, until such time as any personal, sensitive and legally privileged information is redacted from the report and the annexure incapable of being published under the Right to Information Act. No? Okay. Councillors, I might just ask in that instance that we move into confidential to make sure that we've got this right. This was an officer's suggestion. So just before I do that, if I could... We need to move into confidential.
Through you, Madam Chair, I'm comfortable with the amended resolution.
Okay.
It's obviously I haven't had an opportunity to discuss in detail with my colleague, that's all.
Okay, all right. We'll move into confidential, but just before we do that, and it really, this is just a technicality. It's nothing to be worried about. We just want to make sure we get the motion, the recommendation correct, so there's nothing to be fearful of. It's just the wording. But before we do that, because I note that many people in the gallery may leave and not come back, if I could take this opportunity on behalf of councillors and council to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2018. We hope you stay safe and we look forward to seeing you all back here potentially in 2018. Probably an opportunity also on behalf of councillors to thank senior management team, acting CEO and the CEO in his absence, for their hard work over the last 12 months, and we hope that you'd pass that on to the rest of your team, right down through to the guys on the ground. It has been a pleasure. There's been quite a bit of change this year, and I think it's been a very smooth transition. So on behalf of councillors, it's one of those opportunities where we can say thank you very much. So Merry Christmas, and that's not the end of the meeting, as much as I know you'd love it to be, but we will ask now for a motion to go into confidential. Moved Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? I'm just asking those in favour, councillors, those against. The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. 16.1.1. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
As amended, councillors, just as amended? Okay. Those in favour? Those
aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 16.1.2. Moves Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Those in favour? Councillor Boglari,
aye.
Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, against Councillor Bishop. Item 16.1.3. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Tolte. Sorry. Those in favour, it's all over the place.
Aye.
Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Williams, those against, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop. Sorry, did I say Councillor Williams was in favour of that as well? Good, thank you. That's carried, thank you. Item 16.2.1, move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Against? Those in favour? Those against, motion
aye.
Is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 16.2.2, urgent sewer replacement. 16.2.2, move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against, the motion is
aye.
Carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Just before I close the meeting, I too would like to wish all of you, although I will see some of you a few more times before the year's out, but Merry Christmas to all of you. And if I could just say thank you for great participation over the last 12 months and look forward to more of that in 2018. I close the meeting.
Can I just wish everyone a Merry Christmas because I won't be coming in.
Okay, thanks. And we hope you get better, Wendy.
Happy holidays to everybody.
Closed at 10:43.